Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Trinity Talks. My name is Kyla, and I'm the online engagement director here. And hopefully you know by now that this month at Trinity, we have been looking at the heroes of faith in Scripture. And so here on Trinity Talks, we've been talking to some folks to hear their stories of faith, who are folks here at Trinity. And so this Sunday, I'm pleased to be joined by Trevino. Thanks for joining me on the podcast.
Thank you.
Yeah. So Trevino, before we sort of jump into it, maybe you can just tell us a little bit about you.
Like you said, my name is Trevino.
Yeah.
Trevino Betty. I've been coming to Trinity, I would say, probably been over 12 years now.
Okay. Yeah.
And I've always been in Anglican churches. Mm-hmm. Before I was, I used to go to one on Lakeshore, and then it closed down, and then it took me some time to find Trinity. And then when I found Trinity, it felt like home.
Yeah.
I have, two kids.
Yeah.
A boy and a girl, Zaid, who's 14, and Zuri, who's 9. They always come with me, and my wife is, doesn't come as often. But yeah, we've been married for 20 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's great.
So.
Yeah. Good. So, Trevino, when did you first learn about Jesus?
Oh, man. I would say at birth.
Sure.
I was born in Jamaica.
Okay.
And in Jamaican culture, when a child is born, oftentimes you put a Bible in their crib. So,
sure.
I would say from the day I was born, I started learning about the Bible and about mm-hmm. Jesus and about Christianity.
Okay. And so how did that sort of grow in your life? What made you decide to want to follow Jesus for yourself?
Well, I think as I got older, so the introduction of going to church and going to church with my mom at the time when I was in Jamaica, and then you'd start to go to Sunday school on your own as I got older, and then started to go to youth fellowship Friday night services, just being a part of the church. Mm-hmm. And then I eventually moved to Canada, and mm-hmm. then just continued that way.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So what led you to decide to move to Canada?
My parents had me when they were teenagers.
Okay.
And so my mom, stayed in Jamaica, and my dad was here, and she okay. thought it would be a good idea for me to come and spend some time with my dad.
Okay.
Got to know him, get to know him a lot better, and mm-hmm. Also the opportunity for a better life.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. And did you notice any difference in how you practiced your faith in Jamaica versus how you practice it in Canada?
Well, I would say my dad wasn't, so my mom was, and my grandparents were big on going to church, but my dad was on the other side,
okay.
which is so funny that yeah. Rob was talking about switching sides today. So my dad wasn't very religious.
Okay.
So then the big difference was it was then just on my shoulders.
Sure. This,
to see whether or not I was going to continue to practice my faith and follow Jesus. And so I'd say the biggest difference would be it was a choice that I made.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And was there something specific that sort of prompted you to make that choice, or it just felt natural to you?
It felt natural for one thing. And the other thing is when I moved to Canada, I was around 12 or 13, and I lived with my dad for a little bit, mm-hmm. but then things didn't work out so well.
Okay.
So kind of between staying with relatives and staying with and being on my own, mm-hmm. the only thing I had to really lean on was my faith. Mm. And so that was what really kind of solidified things for me, because I always needed to, pray
yeah.
for things to go better. Mm-hmm. And they usually did.
Okay.
But it took a while for me to just say, to think that this is Jesus working for me.
Yeah.
Versus luck. You know, sure. Oftentimes he's going like, okay, man, I was lucky on that. Right.
Right.
So.
Yeah. 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 Faith becomes this thing, like this lifeline, right? Yeah. That really yeah. like when there's nothing else, I mean, you may as well pray about yeah, it, right?
Exactly. But, you know, oftentimes, and that's probably the sad piece of it, you don't give credit really to where that faith is coming from.
Yeah.
And who's delivering for you. You kind of just going like, well, the universe is giving me some blessings.
For sure. Yeah. So when you think about maybe that period of your life or another period, how would you say that faith has helped you get through challenging times?
I think as a young man coming to Canada, without my mom, mm-hmm. Who was really my first hero and, yeah. And really the person that supported everything that I did, and then losing that, it made you start really think through what can I do, and how can I, make a life without having this person there. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I really started thinking through and getting closer and praying about things and find myself like, okay, there's so many things that are happening in my life. Like the first breakaway, like how will I get through this?
Yeah.
I was young. I just left my mom. I'm in a new country. Yep. I came in the winter time.
Oh, so there was the worst time.
So,
to come.
Yeah, yeah. So I think it was March or something that I came. So yeah. there's a lot to pray for the first day yeah, I landed here. I was going like, I'm praying for some warmth right
yeah,
now.
Yeah.
So yeah. That definitely. And then as things go well, I remember, like going to bed, and you'd go to bed crying. And so then what would you do? Because you miss home, you miss your friends, yeah. You're in a new school. So that was really the first time that I got tested, that I really had to lean on my faith and had a lot of things to pray for to mm-hmm. to just get through that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And how would you say that, like, how did you experience God in that time? Did you feel like God was there for you and sort of faithful, or did he feel more distant?
Yes. My journey to, and it is so funny, there's so many times where I prayed for things to happen. Mm-hmm. Please, God, send me a sign.
Yeah. And
a sign was sent. Mm. And I would go back and I was going like, oh, maybe that was just luck. Right? Did my prayers really get answered? I think through university and high school. So I think like the first time I really said, oh man, what's happening? Because I really wanted to go to university coming out of high school, but my grades weren't great.
Okay.
And partially because I was working a lot as yep. a student and, I was playing sports, but I wanted to continue to play sports. And the only way you could continue to play sports was if you went to a university,
right.
Cause most colleges didn't have, I ran track and most colleges okay. didn't have track, and I wanted to continue. And I remember praying for an answer, like, how do I get my grades up? How do I get into university when my marks aren't good enough?
Yep.
And I had my high school coach came to me and said, hey, I think I found a way for you to not work as much as you're working.
Okay.
That way you can focus on just doing your homework and doing school
right.
and get your grades up. And so at the time it took me, got some assistance mm-hmm. and I was able to not work as much. And I was going like, man. And my grades went up.
Yeah.
Some teachers helped me as well. And I was able to get into university. I was kind of like, wow, my prayers got answered.
Yeah.
And that was like a big moment for me, where things just like, okay, that was a big wish granted.
Yeah, for sure. And like, yeah, God answers our prayers through other people too, right? Like sometimes we ask God to like, you know, miraculously do something. And sometimes it is, you know, out of the blue seems really miraculous, but sometimes it is just the kindness of other people in our lives, right?
And there's so many, you know, like, so that was the first one. Mm-hmm. And then I went off and after university, I graduated, I went and I ran for a number of years and, you know, had fun just traveling the world and doing sports.
Yeah.
But it didn't pay well.
Sure.
And I came back from that and decided that I now needed to find a job, but I had no work experience and 4 years out of university with no work experience. I was going like, where am I going to find a job? And I was going like, God, man, I need an answer on this. I still have my OSAP loans to pay back and I have no job.
Yep.
And so I prayed about it. And this lady that I knew, cause she volunteered heavily in sports. I was telling her that she's going like, what are you going to do now that you're retired? I was going like, I need to find a job, but I have no idea.
Yeah.
She had a job for me and it was the best job. It was working at Sears, in project management, event and sports. So I went to the Raptors games, the Leafs games.
So
I was going like, it was fell in my lap.
Yeah.
And I was going like, oh my God, answered my prayers again.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was a, you know, a big moment in my life and a milestone. And it was the start of that gave me a career in retail that I'm still in now.
Yeah.
So it opened up and I can go in every stage of my life.
Yeah.
I would say the one thing that it took me a while to just say, hey, to really believe in faith, and really trust in faith and say that when I pray, good things will happen. May not be the way I expect it to happen. One thing I will tell you, praying takes patience.
Of course, always.
Because it's never when you want it to happen, but it will happen. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, sometimes that patience is hard.
Yeah, but it always is hard.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, God comes through for sure. Oh. For sure.
But then I think that's part of your fate, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Is the fate of patience to trust that things will happen. And the stronger your fate, the stronger your trust in God, the more things will happen for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. So you mentioned that you've always been going to Anglican churches. So is there something about Anglican churches in particular that sort of is important to you in your faith?
I would say one, that's what I was first introduced to.
Sure.
The second piece, and for me, the churches that I've gone, and I don't want to just call out, you know, like, Anglican churches. So I'll say the churches that I've, the Anglican churches that I've gone to, has allowed me to be my authentic self. I don't feel like I have to live up to something that is about that church.
Sure.
I can, it's about my faith and my relationship with God. And that is the priority versus my relationship with the church.
Right. Yeah. No, that's super cool. And I think that's something that we're all sort of looking for in a community, in a church.
Yeah.
It's like, just a space where we can be.
Yeah.
And if it just so happens that like Anglican churches is where that is for you, then like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
So when you think back, in this sermon series, we've been talking about heroes of faith, and looking at the scriptural heroes of faith. So are there any folks in the Bible or sort of scripture verses that come to mind as like being really significant for you in your faith journey?
You know, I've been through this whole series of faith. I've been thinking about, you know, like who are those heroes that really relate to now. And I would say when I think about the one, I can't remember if it was like three or four back when we talked about Noah and the Ark, and just around trust and obedience, is one that really resonates for me, and someone that I would think of as a hero in my life, because so much of what we do now is we don't have the answers. You know, we're sometimes given signs. We don't know what the future will hold, and it just takes a lot of trust. But when you trust and you're obedient, good things happen, and sometimes you just have to just go along with it. And in our society now, it's easy to say no, because there's so many things we're all looking for instant, you know, like I need something immediate.
That like instant gratification.
Yeah. And so, you know, sometimes it's you build and wait. And so for me, that is kind of how I try to live my life, is I take the signs that I've given. I trust, I build, and I wait. And so even raising my kids, like, I can't have all the answers. I know there's a, I know there's a formula or things that, you know, I must have. It's kind of like, what do you put in the ark? What do I instill in my kids? And then you just hope that if you instill the right things, that the results will be the results you're looking for.
I'm wondering, you know, you were just talking about raising your kids and trying to instill those values in them. How has being a parent shaped your faith? Has that changed the way that you think about faith or about God at all?
Somewhat. I would say, you know, in what has really shaped my faith, I had two grandmothers that lived until they were 95. And they both lived until they're 95. And one of the things that I can always think about with them is that never left their side was their Bible. Like, they're just always, you know, their faith was so important to them. And the values that they shared, and even some of the, you know, the stories that they told, are stories that shaped me. And I still, you know, even times when I thought they weren't landing, before it's going, oh, grandma used to say this, or mama used to say that. And I used to go like, how many times are you going to read the Bible? So, you know, to see that coming to life, and, and to see my son, and digitally now, but to see him, you know, like reading his Bible, whether in the morning or before he goes to bed, it makes you feel good about, okay, these values, when, especially when there's so many things competing for their interest now, has really strengthened my faith, because I know, you know, switching sides isn't easy. And so it's made me be a lot more committed, because I want to demonstrate for them those values and not just say it. So, you know, there's times where I probably come to church more consistently now since then, because I want to make sure that they experience this. And so they're going to make the choice that they want to make eventually. But it's not going to be because I didn't lay that foundation for them.
Yeah, and I think, like, looking back, as you said, on your grandmother's faith, and just being able to say, okay, they laid a foundation for me, and so now I'm going to do that for my kids. Like, yeah, sometimes we don't, like you said, we don't get to decide what they're going to do, but we get to lay the foundation.
Exactly.
And sometimes, like you were saying, you know, your grandmothers would tell these stories over and over. You're like, I'm not really listening, right? But then it does. It comes back to you at a certain point, you know? And you get that faith that's passed on just through genuine human interaction and love and family.
And that's the, the piece for me. And again, mm-hmm. it goes back to the whole story, like I said, with Noah. Mm-hmm. You don't know what the outcome is going to be. And it's a matter of that trust and obedience. Mm-hmm. And so I try to demonstrate that with my kids. We're going like, I don't know, but if I continue to plant these seeds and plant these values in them, mm-hmm. some of them are going to grow.
Yeah.
And eventually, you know, by like coming to church, that's me nurturing and watering it. Mm-hmm. And eventually they're going to see these seeds into trees that they enjoy. And they're either going to cut them down or continue to nurture them. Mm-hmm. And some they may cut down and some they will continue to nurture. But if you don't plant something, other things will grow, right?
Yeah, so, for sure.
And so I rather the things that I know that have worked for me be planted than just a bunch of weeds. Just
sure. Yeah, for sure. So when you think about people that you know in your life, are there any people that you would consider sort of heroes of faith for you?
Yes.
Okay.
They're my grandparents.
Yeah.
Both of them. And like I said, ironically enough, they gave me two different perspectives. Mm. You know, my one grandmother on my dad's side lived, I would say, I don't want to say less fortunate life, but she didn't have a lot growing up. In fact, you know, my grandmother didn't have electricity.
Okay.
Until she was in her 80s, and wow. where she lived. And ironically about that is she became blind. Mm. So by the time she could get like, you know, electricity in her house and light and whatever, she couldn't take advantage of it. But her fate mm-hmm. carried her through so many things. She was always happy for someone that had such little. She always shared. Mm. If it was like, even if she had one cracker, she would break it and give it to like everyone. Mm. She took life, you know, like I remember going home. The only thing that I had to bring home for her was a bag of licorice.
Okay.
she liked licorice for some reason. And so for me, it really showed me the value of what you can do even when you had nothing, but you had a strong belief and strong faith. And so she was definitely my hero, because there's so many times that I had to think, you know, and she lived so long.
Yeah. Right?
And I was going like, how can you be happy? You're here and it's going like in 40 degrees in Jamaica, 40 plus, there's no AC.
Yeah.
She had like a zinc roof.
Okay.
You know, you can barely get ice to even, you know, she'd make some lemonade, but it was like lukewarm.
Yeah.
I was going like, oh man, this tastes more like tea than anything else.
Right. Yeah.
But you never saw her upset. And I believe it was her fate that did it.
Yeah.
And on my other side, on my mom's side, my other grandmother, same thing. It was her fate. Like her experience was different, but she had different challenges. And she overcame them through just a strong belief in fate. She had 10 kids.
Wow.
And so you needed faith.
You need some faith to raise 10 kids for sure. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. Is there anything else about your faith journey that you sort of stands out or that you wanted to share?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is that, you know, the key word there is a journey. You know, and so fate for me is always, it's a journey that I'm on, and it's a journey that I will continue to be on. And as I experience different things and go through different stages of my life, some things have to pivot. More and more things, you know, challenge your faith. I would say most recently, and my father passed away in December, and it was sudden. And then I was going like, just makes absolutely no sense. Yeah. And so, you know, still questioning today and just thinking through, like, he was such a good person. He was so healthy. There was, it was just suddenly, and how quickly life can change and make you ponder on, you know, what's really important. But you then have to, again, lean on your faith to say, you know, like, what do I need to, why? And sometimes maybe just even stop asking why. And it is because trust what's ahead of you and what's next. So I think for me, you know, just continuing to believe in those moments as you go through them. So.
Yeah, I think in those hard times, like, why, as you said, is often one of the first questions that we ask. But I was reading something last week that talked about this idea of, you know, when you're tempted to ask why, what if you asked what instead? It's like, what am I supposed to do with this? What does this mean? Like, what comes next?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I think, you know, the other piece of it too is, you know, like, every week, you know, we come to church, or, you know, whether you say your prayers in the morning or before you go to bed or both or whatever you do, oftentimes we're praying for forgiveness or to help others or, you know, different things that we pray for. And so sometimes I ask myself, how many times can I pray for forgiveness? You know, how about you just stop making these mistakes so you... You don't have to pray for forgiveness. And, you know, I think my faith is what gives me strength in saying that, you know, it's a journey.
Yeah.
And you just, what's most important is you're not giving up and you continue to work and keep faith that one day you will get it right. So,
yeah, we just keep going on the journey.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for taking some time and sharing a bit of your story with us. And for those who are listening, I hope that you have been also been encouraged and maybe challenged through bits of Trudino's story and able to see yourself in his story and consider what might God be calling you to next as we continue in this journey of faith.